Good morning. Let me see. This is Sunday, January 24th, 2016. And outside, it's here in North Carolina, it's very snowy. Well, at least there's snow on the ground everywhere you look. I'm glad to say the temperatures are rising and it's beginning to melt. Yesterday, of course, we took the sleds out and everybody went sledding down the hill and had a gleeful time. At least there was a lot of laughter, and that's a good thing. Today it's rather peaceful, and not because of the weather, but because it's quiet, with just me and the dog and the cat. And, of course, the presence, which makes everything peaceful. I've been thinking a lot lately, pondering, remembering, realizing Joel's statement that consciousness is never unmanifested. And so whatever state of consciousness you have is manifesting. If you have only a material sense of universe, then you have only the belief in good and evil. And sometimes it manifests as good, sometimes it manifests as evil. You have good days, you have bad days, you have good health and then ill health. You have harmonious relationships and then you have inharmonious relationships, maybe arguments. You have a good flow of supply, and then, speaking of supply as money, that flow of supply dries up. We all know that supply is much more, but in this case, having the consciousness of supply as money, sometimes the money's there and sometimes the money isn't. And so, you have either, well, Moses gave us the law. If you live by the Ten Commandments, and you sow only good seed, the law is going to give you back only good seed. But that's not entirely true, because people that sow only good seed and have only the consciousness of the law of material universe, of the belief in good and evil, of a personal sense of self, sometimes from out of the blue, they're hit by something evil. Which is what makes people sometimes wonder, how can this happen to that individual who is so good? Well, it can happen because that individual has only the consciousness of good and evil. True, they're trying to be good. But evil sneaks in, like a weasel, doesn't it? And so, if you have a material sense of universe, then you have a universe that can be good or evil. If you have a material sense of relationships, then today, as Joel says, people can be in love, and tomorrow they can be driving daggers into each other's hearts. It's the nature of this world, and a consciousness only of this world, a material state of consciousness. We start on this spiritual path, probably like me, you become really sick and tired of the opposites. Something in you knows that there's something more. You're not sure what it is, or perhaps you have a particular problem that is hurting you so deeply that you seek answers that are beyond human aid. You give up hope from doctors and you look beyond for something else. You give up all hope for the government bailing you out and you look for answers deeper than that. You give up all hope of finding the right dating service and you quit looking and you decide you're just going to walk alone and you look deeper to have a relationship with God. And so we start our journey. If we happen to land in the infinite way with the books and tapes and talks and classes, we start to practice specific principles. We learn about omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. We learn to practice the presence, jolting ourselves into a memory, a remembrance of the presence throughout our day. And before we step out to go to work in the morning, we stop and pause for just a moment and remind ourselves that that presence, that omnipresence, is just as much on the other side of this door as it is here. It not only stays behind me, but it goes before me. Omnipresence, everywhere presence. That is a principle. We begin to practice omniscience, all-knowing. Perhaps I'm stuck. I can remember working in a factory and being stuck. I was trying to learn how to solder components together, and I just couldn't do it. I put the solder and the soldering gun together, and bloop, there it would go, and it would be a big glob on there. And the inspector would come and say, "This is no good," and pull it apart and tell me I had to do it again. And it just seemed to me that I was never going to learn how to do it. But then I remembered omniscience, and so I sat still during my lunch break. After I ate, I sat still by myself in my car or up on the wall that ran around the parking lot, but I sat still. And I focused on omniscience. That intelligence is right here. I didn't even think about soldering, I was just thinking about omniscience. And after lunch, I came back to the reel-to-reel tape decks, and I heated up the soldering iron, and I grabbed the roll of solder, and I touched the two together, and it flowed onto the wire just so beautifully. I pulled the solder away, and there it was. It was perfect. It wasn't too much or too little. It was really quite neat. I had a good time with it that afternoon. I soldered everything in sight that needed soldering, and I invited the inspector to come over, and she passed every one of them. Now, how did that happen? I couldn't do that by myself. I was having a hard time. No matter how hard I personally tried, I was not getting it. But then in a moment of not trying, in a moment of rest, suddenly my hands knew. My mind knew. Just touch it. Just touch it for a moment, and it flows right on there by itself. You don't have to make it. It just flows. And from then on, all of my units were passed. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if she rejected one or two. I can't remember. Seemed to me that from then on, every bit of soldering was okay. And that's omniscience. And so we work with the principles of omnipresence, and we work with the principle of omniscience. And then we come to, for me, which was the hardest one, omnipotence. All power. That sets up a quandary sometimes because, in my case, I could not see God as a power. Every time I saw God as a power, I thought of these old movies, The Ten Commandments and Ben-Hur and all those things where God is raining down fire and over evil, and it just seemed like God is a power. That didn't compute. I couldn't get it. I couldn't digest that. So what is God as power? What does that mean? It drove me on and on, searching deeper and deeper. And the result of going deeper and deeper, trying to find an answer to, or a sense of omnipotence, I came to see, to experience the body of Christ, or the body of God, the infinite spiritual body. And in that experience, I saw, I could feel how the power of God maintains that spiritual body. And so I could see God maintaining its spiritual body omnipresent. And that's how I came for myself to feel omnipotence. That body is being maintained by the presence of God everywhere. Now. And so, most of you know the story of when my toe just turned black all by itself. And the doctor said, well, we'll have to cut it off. That's the only answer. We don't know what to do other than that. And I did not like that answer. And so I went into meditation very seriously. Got my attention. And I did not meditate on anything to do with that toe. I meditated on realizing and feeling this omnipresent omnipotence. This omnipresent body. Invisible body of Christ. And I felt it several times, and of course you know that the so-called infamous toe turned back to its regular color, which was, in crayons we used to call it flesh color, but what's it called now? I don't know. Pink, tan, whatever. It turned back to normal. And it's been that way ever since. And so that showed me that, yes, that omnipotence is omniscient and omnipresent. However, it does not function until I have it in my consciousness. And back to what we started with, no consciousness is ever unmanifested. And so as I learned about omnipresence, I began to experience strange things. I showed up at a job interview one time, not knowing where I was going. I didn't even look it up. I knew the street, of course, but it was three or four cities over. And I just headed out in that general direction and came out right in front of the place I was to have the interview right at the hour I was to be there. And that's omnipresence and omniscience and omnipotence. And so as we begin to practice these specific spiritual principles that we learn in the infinite way, they begin to operate in our consciousness. That is, we become consciously aware of them, even in small measure. And once in our consciousness, they manifest. Oh yes, we may have 90% of the time human beliefs manifesting, and 10% of the time spiritual principles manifesting, but we're undergoing a change, a transformation of consciousness. Now, we continue to study, we learn, we add meditation, contemplation and meditation. We learn that if we can't just close the eyes and become still, we can use contemplation to slow down the mind and contemplate a truth or a statement of truth until we reach that place where there's nothing else to contemplate, and the mind will naturally become still of itself. Without might or without power. And so we learn the art of contemplation, which leads us to that moment of meditation or silence. And we take our statements of truth. I think one of the first ones I ever took is, I come at a moment ye think not. And that used to bother me, because when I read it, I felt guilty. God's going to come in a moment I think not, or Jesus is going to come out of the sky in a moment I think not, and he's going to catch me, because I do things that are human. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good, sometimes bad. At least I did back then. And he's going to catch me. I know he is. And so that statement of truth made me feel guilty. I didn't like it. But I took it into contemplation, and I looked at it, and I tried to feel the principle there. Most times I can take a statement of truth and feel the principle or principles in it. And this was no different. Eventually it led to a moment of silence, and suddenly I had the awareness of the principle. No, it has nothing to do with those old religious beliefs. It has to do with when I'm not thinking, when I'm taking no thought, that omnipresence appears. I come, I. That presence comes at a moment when I'm not thinking. And that led, of course, to the natural corollary, which was, be still and know, I am God, I in the midst of you. So when you're still, you will know this presence. And when you're not thinking, you will know this presence. And that started me on learning how to practice meditation. Eventually, one night, I was sitting with one of those statements of truth from the Gospels, and I stopped thinking. It was only a moment, and yet there was this feeling, this beautiful feeling of a wonderful presence and a sense of peace at the same time. And that presence touched me on the side of the face, not like a human touch, but it was more inside yet outside. It was a transcendental presence. It was tingling that my face, that side of my face. And I began to feel that presence daily, sometimes on the arm, even sometimes on the leg, on the top of the head, the face. Yesterday it was really strong on the left side of my face. But I learned to practice the presence, and I learned to practice meditation, and Joel was right, when you put the two together, you have the capital E experience. And what is the capital E experience? It is the conscious awareness of the principle or the presence. And when you have the conscious awareness of it, you have it in your consciousness. And now the Father was not something I read that belonged to Jesus. It's something that Bill had for himself. I had the conscious awareness of the presence of the Father, of that Christ presence. The name's not important, but I had the experience of that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I came to see that's a truth that's come true for me. It wasn't true for me while I was living in a total material state of consciousness. But now that I have the conscious awareness of the Father, it never leaves my consciousness. And no consciousness, no conscious awareness is ever left unmanifested. And so that presence, that omnipresence, manifests daily in my experience. So many times we think we're going to find the spiritual kingdom and we're going to leave this world. I said that to a spiritual man one time. This man was one of the most loving men I ever met. It was obvious he had the presence of God living in him. And I snuck up next to him when nobody's listening, and I said, you're teaching us how to leave this world and enter the kingdom, aren't you? And he said to me, this world is the kingdom when we see it rightly. And I smiled, but I didn't understand what he meant, but I smiled. And he smiled with a little glint in his eye. Later he called me his son, which was really something, but this time I had to go home and contemplate that, and I found it in the writings of the Infinite Way, where Joel says, this world is the kingdom, and yet in other places, this world is not of my kingdom. We learn about paradoxes, and we learn about these sayings in the Infinite Way, in the Christ teachings, and we discover that depending on where you are in consciousness, one or none or all of them apply. And so I had to go see, what does this mean? What does this mean? How can you say on the one hand my kingdom is not of this world, and on the other hand just come right out and say, if you know these principles, they will change your outer life? How do those two go together? It was quite a quandary, really, and many, many years of study, until I came to see they're both right. They're both right. My kingdom, the invisible realm of God, the presence of God, is not of this world. It's not good, it's not bad, it doesn't pass away. It's eternal in the heavens. But it's also eternal right here. And so when I experience that omnipresence right here, and it is my consciousness, they're one, then in that communion, it manifests. The mind sees it as improved conditions. The mind sees it as harmonious relationships. The mind sees it as abundant supply. The mind sees it as good health, normal health. But it's the mind that's coloring it. It's still the same invisible spiritual substance. That's what John saw. In the beginning was the Word, this omnipresence, and the Word was God. And the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, yes, it's still the Word, says Joel. The Word becomes flesh, but it's still the Word. You're just seeing it as flesh. And there's nothing wrong with seeing it as flesh, as long as you know it's still the invisible Word. And so you come to see, by practicing specific principles, wow, this invisible presence is here. But knowing it in the mind changes nothing. It doesn't manifest. That's not a change in consciousness. That's just a mental thought. And so you can rehearse the mental thought, omnipresence is here, all day long. And it may serve to calm you down, but it won't manifest if it's just in the mind. Or if it does, harmony does appear, and you're practicing the metaphysics, it won't last. Something else will come in, because you're still living in the opposites of the mind. But if you take it into meditation, deeply, until you really come into the living awareness, the conscious awareness of the living here now presence, omnipresence, here now, then you rest back. You know there's no need to take thoughts. Right here is the presence, and you rest in it, and you feel it. It's a spiritual feeling, not an emotion, not a thought, not a word, just a silent feeling of presence. Then you have the conscious awareness of it. It is in your consciousness, and it manifests. The mind colors it as something good. Harmony in relationships, harmony of health, abundance of supply. It is consciousness appearing, conscious awareness appearing, omnipresence You have omnipresence and you have conscious awareness of omnipresence, and the two become one. They become consciousness. And in the communion of consciousness, it manifests. And you still don't have that consciousness 100% of the time. Probably you're finding out, as I did, that sometimes it comes to you and comes upon you, even with your eyes open when you're not trying to meditate. Then it's slowly transforming your consciousness from material sense only to spiritual sense and material sense. You have two. Sometimes you're living in the conscious awareness, and sometimes you're living in only this world, only the awareness of this world. And you go farther and you say, what about these spiritual healing principles? And you pick up perhaps the Art of Spiritual Healing and you start to study them. Maybe you become aware that in the year 1959, Joel realized that the students weren't getting the spiritual healing principles, and he devoted that year to talking about them. And so you go get those talks, or you find the books that were pulled from those talks, and you listen. You begin to see there's two more specific principles. There's one called impersonalization, where I recognize all error as impersonal, belonging to no one, having the substance or fabric of mental images or universal belief or nothingness. You begin to see that the second principle is nothingization, and that's where you recognize this impersonal mental image is this impersonal universal thought, this impersonal world mind, belongs to no one. And in the presence of the conscious awareness of omnipresence, it is nothing. Now, again, it's not enough to go into the human mind, which is the vehicle for this world mind, and know this truth. And repeat, this is impersonal nothingness, impersonal nothingness, impersonal nothingness. It won't make it, that principle, manifest. But if you go into your inner closet and you close the door to thinking, and you recognize this impersonal world thought is nothingness in the presence of Christ, in the presence of omnipresence realized, then you have the secret to it. Ah, this is impersonal. I have nobody to treat or heal. And furthermore, in my conscious awareness of omnipresence, it's nothingness. So what am I doing here? What am I really doing here? The same thing I've been doing the entire journey. I need to become still and wait upon the Lord. Wait for this movement. Wait for this conscious awareness of omnipresence. And then that presence, as it moves through my consciousness and I feel it, I don't think it, there's no emotion with it. It's a feeling of presence. It's a transcendental awareness. In that awareness, it must manifest. And so the secret to healing is the principles of impersonalization and nothingization. But that only takes place in the presence of conscious awareness of the living Christ. So now I see it's not a mental trip. It's a real conscious awareness. It's a real awareness in consciousness. It's a real consciousness manifesting. I in the midst of me is the conscious awareness in the midst of consciousness. That's where God is. The only God there is my very own center of consciousness. And it utters itself when I learn the principle of impersonalization and nothingization and stand aside and permit it. I don't try to channel it. I don't try to heal anybody. In fact, I look at myself and recognize the same thing about the person sitting here. This is also impersonal nothingization. In the presence of Christ, it's nothing. And so I sit still, I behold, I bear witness, and it's true. I, in the midst of me, make all things new. Why? Because I'm out here working on all this? No. Because when you have me, the I, in the center of your being, Christ consciousness, or the conscious awareness of the living presence, omnipresence, then I manifest. I transform your consciousness from one that's only made out of material sense into one that has spiritual sense. And now, it's been several years on the path, on this journey, and perhaps we're even up to the place where spiritual consciousness is manifesting 50 or 60% of the time, and material consciousness is manifesting 40. But again, the principle that Joel gave us is consciousness is never unmanifested. So here I am, and I've been walking the path, lo, these many decades, perhaps even half a century, and something bad comes. Now, how could that happen? If we're asking ourselves, how could that happen, we haven't been paying attention to the principles. It could happen because no consciousness is ever unmanifested, and I still have that 40% that's human, that's material consciousness, that's good and evil, beliefs in two. And it is manifesting, and I'm unhappy. It simply means I have to go back to the blackboard and practice the principles more. Maybe I've been coasting. Things have been so good, I've been coasting for a while. Maybe I haven't been meditating. I prefer to get up and go for a nice brisk walk. Maybe I haven't been meditating in the daytime. I'm too caught up in my business. It's thriving, and why should I meditate? I mean, didn't God give this to me, you see? Here's the belief in two, God and me. God giving me something. Well, the natural result of that is the opposite. Oh, now God's taking something away. Maybe I'm losing my business. Some competitor is picking it up. Maybe I'm losing my harmonious relationship and we're beginning to argue over silly little things. Maybe I'm losing my health. But in one way or another, that part of consciousness that still entertains material sense has got to manifest. That's why we know, for the most part, when somebody is getting these principles. You don't have to ask. Just simply watch. Are they beginning to demonstrate harmony? Because no consciousness is ever unmanifested. And if they have the conscious, the real awareness of omnipresence and not just the thought, it manifests. You see the changes. There's a glint in the eye. They're not worrying so much. Now, later on, after they've been on the path for a while, perhaps they have... Well, first you see they begin giving rather than taking. And they draw to themselves students or patients. And they begin to pour out. And you say, aha, I see. This one has it. They're getting it. Now, when they suddenly fall ill, do you bring out your judgment and say, well... No, I guess they don't have it at all. Maybe I should make friends with somebody else. No. If you're consciously aware, you know, first of all, what you're seeing is that age-old belief in two, and it's impersonal. It belongs to nobody. This is not that person. This is the image again. But in the conscious awareness, where someone has the conscious awareness of Christ, it is nothingness. So let me be concerned now with just simply remembering to have to dwell in the conscious awareness of the living Christ and let me be still and feel it. Now I'm helping lift that person back up. Maybe they got entangled in a business. Maybe they thought that they had to change their partner. Maybe they thought that, there was a flu epidemic and they became prone to it because they weren't practicing these principles. They were so caught up in living. So you don't condemn them. You help lift them up by seeing through that image and then resting long enough so that that image can be nothingness in the presence of your realized Christ. And so do you see how we practice specific principles? I'm in agreement with Joel that no consciousness is ever unmanifested. That's why you cannot hide what you are. I have people that have... Well, let me put it this way. There are people I have watched that have come to a spiritual way of life, a spiritual program of action, a spiritual discipline, and they've learned principles, and they nod their heads, and yet as you watch, the years go by, and they never, ever give something back. It's just not there. And Joel says in the book I was just reading, Between Words and Thoughts, that's one of the signs that they're beginning to get it. Why? Do they suddenly become magnanimous? No. When they step aside, the spirit begins to flow, and that spiritual consciousness has to pour out. It has to. And so when they attain it, it begins to pour. You see it, and you know. Ah, they're getting it. But there are others that have all the words and all the years of practice, but not the conscious awareness. And you know it. They can't hide it. They are manifesting a material sense of life. And the others are manifesting a spiritual consciousness. And so, you can look at your life and you can see if you have the conscious awareness of omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. Do you have the conscious awareness that makes the appearance a nothingness when it comes into contact with your consciousness? If you do, you'll see it melt and move aside, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it will always manifest. And you are also aware that sometimes you do really bonehead things, and that's probably most likely and pretty assuredly the human being that knows so much. On those days, you're knowing the truth with your mind. You're not coming into the conscious awareness. And so you're manifesting a material sense of life. Now, we come farther with the principles, and Joel says, guess what? I've held this back till now. But now I need to tell you that all your prayers and all your meditations are meaningless. That you of yourself are really nothing. And now you must come into the conscious awareness so deeply that yourself is nothingized. And he says there will come a time when that presence will take over and live itself. And so, he says, I want you to pray without words and without thoughts. All the truth that you learn in the first degree and the second degree, it's time to drop it. Now you're going to learn how to function without words and without thoughts. You're going to learn how to be the conscious awareness that really does behold I making all things new. you're going to learn to become so still that perhaps 70% of the time you'll be living in this conscious awareness, and only 30% of the time will you live in a material sense of existence. And you sort of say to yourself, wow, are you kidding me? No, he's not kidding you. This is the step that separates the men from the boys, so to speak, spiritually. This is the step where you really die and give up entirely all material desire, all desire to do something with your own life, to become something, to have something, even to know something. You give it all up. You have but one motivation, to know God aright, which brings to your awareness consciously your eternal life, your eternal self, your spiritual, infinite, eternal self. Now, this gets to be a little bit unsettling, because you enter your closet and you know no truth. You don't start with a statement of truth. You are learning to pray aright at last. It's only taken you 10, 20, 30, 40 years, but you're learning to pray aright. You have some strange experiences in this stage, because this conscious awareness of the living presence comes upon you at moments that you're not even... I've said to you before, it comes upon you at the strangest times. I've felt the presence in the middle of a movie theater while thoroughly enjoying Star Wars or some other movie. I have felt the presence in the middle of driving my car so strongly that I have to really focus my eyes because my mind is somewhere else. I have felt the presence so strongly while standing up in front of you and giving a class. I have felt this presence so strongly in the middle of the bathtub. I have felt this presence in the middle of having my wife in my arms. I have felt this presence in the middle of my sleep so strong that it awakened me in the middle of the night, and for a while I was between two worlds. I could see them both intersecting. But even now, there's still that percentage of human thought, human material sense that manifests. So, as I study the life of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, I see he too had that material sense right up till the ascension. It was material sense that had him become angry with his disciples, and as he was afraid of getting on the cross. Couldn't you stay awake with me just for an hour? It was material sense that had him say to the money changers, "You vipers." It was material sense that had him say, "Father, if he said it, why have you forsaken me?" At that moment, he had, and you can't blame him, I don't blame him. I would, I'm sure. He had a material sense of self and could not quite get that conscious awareness. Yet, in the moment of release, when he said, "I have finished the work and it is finished," he ascended. He ascended up over all material sense. But there was a trace, says Joel, because when he manifested in the upper chambers, he had the marks on his hands and in his side. But even that disappeared, so that by the time he was on the road to Emmaus, nobody saw what he was. They could not see his material sense of self. Now, we are all walking this way. Let us not pretend because we have the words, we have the conscious awareness. It's not the same. And we cannot fool each other nor ourselves, because we can look at our lives and see what's manifesting. Is it the conscious awareness of Christ, which must manifest because no consciousness is unmanifest? Or is it material sense, because that's the consciousness and no consciousness is unmanifest? I don't mean little forays off into material sense that causes you to have a cold this week when you haven't had one in 40 weeks. No, I mean overall, what are you manifesting? It has to manifest. You see, we don't leave this world and enter the kingdom. I was wrong, lo, those 35 odd years ago. This man was right. This world is the kingdom when we see it right. Aha. Now I understand what he meant. This world is the kingdom when I have the consciousness that manifests. If this world is bad and good and mostly bad, I have the world mind, human thought, that is manifesting, not the consciousness or the conscious awareness. And so who is there that we can fool? No one. The two must become one. This world is the kingdom as this consciousness takes over. John said it very poetically, and how beautifully, in the Revelation. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Yes, there was a new earth because he had a new consciousness. Heaven became his conscious awareness, and it manifested as a new earth. "Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw New Jerusalem." John beheld omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience. John, in his beautiful consciousness, he beheld the Word. He beheld the Christ. He beheld God. He beheld the I in the midst. And that consciousness, the consciousness of I, consciousness of the Word, when he rested in it and felt it, it became flesh. And he called that flesh, his mind called that flesh, the New Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth. And he gave us a little hint, a clue. He said, "You receive a stone." Do you remember the stone is cut out of the mountain without hands? And that's one of our principles, one of our major main principles. When you learn to pray aright, you will learn to stand aside and watch the stone formed of your consciousness. And so he says, we are given a stone, and on that stone is written a new name. And no one knows what that name is, saving he that receiveth it. And that's John's way of saying that he stood aside. We stand aside, and we rest in consciousness and come into the conscious awareness of a new self, living itself right here, right now. And it manifests. And you know consciousness is living itself and manifesting its glory in our very midst. You have a new name, a new self. Nobody knows what that is except you who are able to do this. you who are able to follow me into the inner essence of your being. No consciousness is unmanifest. When you attain the awareness manifests. When you only have the thought, then the human world mind manifests. So which will you follow? The conscious awareness or the thoughts? No consciousness is ever unmanifested. I wondered about that for a long time, because I knew all these principles. I could recite them. If you gave me a test, a written test or multiple choice or a true-false, I could pass it. Yet I was having troubles and difficulties and problems. What was going on? What did that man mean, this world is the kingdom, when you see it aright? I had to go deeper and deeper. I had to come to grips with the fact that that which I thought I knew, I did not know. I had to come to grips with the fact that after studying for many years, I did not know. I had the knowledge, but I did not have the wisdom. You see, when you have the knowledge, it's somewhat hollow. I can hear people talk, and I can feel the difference. When they have the knowledge only, the words are all correct. But it's only knowledge, and you can tell. You can feel that. Well, at least I can. That comes with spiritual discernment. When you have the wisdom, and you speak from wisdom, it means you have the knowledge, yes, but you've taken that knowledge, and you've contemplated it and pondered it, and gone beyond that knowledge, where you've felt the principle, felt the presence, and watched it manifest. You have beheld His glory. You have bore witness to God in action. You have seen the I in your midst manifest. Now you have wisdom. You have the knowledge and the awareness combined, and you have the wisdom of a beholder. Having the knowledge and passing the test is okay. It's a step along the way. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you stay there and trick yourself into thinking that because you have the knowledge, you have the awareness, and you don't look at your life and you live in denial and pretend that, well, this is all an illusion and my real life is invisible and I'm just going to stand on that and just let this other thing go, you're going to be very sadly mistaken. You have to reach the place in your journey I had to, where I had to shake myself and say, ah, man, I thought I knew. I didn't. Now what did I miss? And I went back to the tapes and the talks and I searched deeply. And fortunately, a very good friend who I didn't even know was a friend, God, through Sharon, God moved through Sharon and sent me the Color Study Series, which showed me what I missed. And that was that next step. I was told many, many years ago by my first spiritual teacher, you will reach the edge of a cliff and the voice will say, step off. And you will either turn back or you will step off. And I reached that cliff with the Kailua Study Series. And Joel says, it may make you angry with him. It may make you angry at the infinite way, but you've got to pass through it. What will make you angry? This realizing that you thought you knew and you don't. This realizing that you've got to go back and learn what you didn't learn. This realizing that you've got to step off the cliff. You've got to have no thoughts, no words, no concepts, no images, no beliefs, nothing that you can cling to. And step off into Well, it feels like nothingness. And sometimes you have to do that repeatedly. But the reward is, if there be a reward, the experience that comes, no, it's not a reward, it's just an experience that comes from doing this, like stepping out into the sun if you want sunshine. That's not a reward, feeling the warmth of the sun. That's just what happens when you practice that, when you step into it. It's the same here. When you reach that place where you really are a nothingness, no thoughts, no words, no beliefs, no images, no concepts, just silence. Then this experience comes, this movement, this beautiful, joyous presence announces itself, and oh my God, it's beautiful. It's real. Now I know. I have wisdom now. Now I know what it feels like to be consciously aware of omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and see it manifest as a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Is it all the time? No. Is it a lot of the time? Yes. Is it my home? It is indeed. But my home is not somewhere behind some veil hiding. Feels that way, but it's not. My home is right here as I feel this glorious presence right this second. And I know I am home in thee. And I'm right here. I'm on earth. And this that I feel is manifesting as this talk today, as this moment right now. And I behold a new heaven, a new earth. I behold the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Yes, it's being imparted to me this very second. Oh, just let's be still. I, in the midst of thee, am the way. But you must be still. Let there be light. You can't think it into being. You must stand still. I have come that you might have omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. Yes, my supply is every good and perfect gift. Everything you ever imagined, and so far beyond what you could imagine. I, in the midst of thee, have come to be that. As you are still and you let there be light. I will not fail thee. I will uphold thee. I will give you the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Have I been so long a time with you, and you have not known me? Be still. Rest. There remaineth a rest to the children of God. And remember, above this material sense is the universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with the children of God. And the children of God attain, realize this rest. They come into the conscious awareness that in a moment of rest, I reveal myself. And then communion with that conscious awareness, resting in it, manifests. It always manifests. Consciousness always manifests. Well, we're at the end of our hour already. And so I guess I'll go have my lunch and I'll bid you Godspeed. And please find this conscious awareness that will become unto you the Word made flesh, the new earth, the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, the new self. Thank you.